Some persons are here this morning. They were not with us yesterday. So I'll do a little recap of what we did yesterday. The main part of yesterday was the life of Prahlad Maharaj. And I shared the intention of this seminar in twofold primarily. One, the whole story of Prahlad Maharaj spans minimally six chapters. Or seven chapters. That's a big chunk of Srimad Bhagavatam. And sometimes it's a little puzzling, the flow of or chronology of things, because we hear something there and something there. So it's an intention, a purpose of this seminar is to give a picture, the flow of the whole episode in Srimad Bhagavatam of Prahlad Maharaj. And the second purpose is to focus on the teachings, as you see here on the screen, the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Because last year at this time we discussed the prayers, which are certainly very famous and very important. But it's incomplete. That's one chapter, chapter 9. So the teachings of Prahlad make the whole presentation complete. So it focuses on the teachings. I mentioned that there are essentially five sections of teachings. Three with Hiranyakashipu, one with the teachers, and a really big one with the students. Something like we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are five very large sections of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Roy, etc. So there's five. And we'll spend some time on each one of those five. And very famous verses, famous particularly from my experience anyway, is that Prabhupada would quote them again and again. So we'll spend some extra time on those. This section of Srimad Bhagavatam is not moving. The button is on, but it's not moving. Ah. Now it's moving. Okay. This section of Srimad Bhagavatam, those of you that were with us last year, you recognize this slide. It's part of what Gadadhar Pandit, pictured here, would do on a daily basis with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Tota Gopinath Temple. This is King Pratapa at Narendra Sarovar. That's the Sarovar down here, those waves. And the king commissioned a disciple of Vakreshwara Pandit, who was a good artist, to paint this painting. It was Prataparudra Maharaj's wish to portray his mood that it's not in the kirtan, it's reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. So, at least from appearances. That's something that regularly went on. And then there's Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, and without naming all the others, except there's Haridas Thakur, hearing from Gadadhar Pandit. And it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that every day Lord Chaitanya for 18 years would go to the place where Gadadhar Pandit was residing at the Tota Gopinath temple. There's Tota Gopinath with his legs showing at the bottom. During the Kartik month, his legs are exhibited like this, but actually he's sitting. His legs are folded and he's in a seated position, very unique. And Lord Chaitanya, after darshan of Jagannath, receiving prasad of Jagannath, going to visit Haridas Thakur at Siddhabakul, giving prasad of Jagannath, engaging in Harikatha with him for some time, would then go to Gadadhar Pandit's Tota Gopinath temple, dance and chant in ecstasy before Tota Gopinath, and then sit with Gadadhar Pandit and hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day for some time, for hours. And specifically, Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that he particularly would hear the pastime of Prahlad and Dhruva, beginning to end, and would then say it again. So it was, there's a reason why say it again. And that's because the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, specifically, are teaching the way of pure devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya came to give Shuddha Bhakti, more specifically, Braja Bhakti. Now, Prahlad is a Vaikuntha Vasi personality, but Shuddha Bhakta, giving teachings of Shuddha Bhakti. So that's certainly within his prayers and it's certainly within his teachings. And if we hear very carefully, we'll hear how to come to the stage of Shuddha Bhakti from whatever stage we're at today. The pastimes are very potent. The teachings are very potent. So that's why we're doing this, to help give some understanding of Shuddha Bhakti. In the 10th chapter of this canto, Prahlad says, "You, seeing the condition of people in this world today, bewildered by material existence and contaminated consciousness, you sent me to teach the way of pure devotional service." So that's what we're receiving, both by his words and by his character. But his character is revealed in his words. And we'll see how character is really important, and the instructions of Prahlad to come to Shuddha Bhakti is what we're undertaking here together. We should be offering proper respect to our founder Acharya, who gave us these teachings. Maybe some of you grew up knowing these teachings. Some of the rest of us never knew these teachings. And not only gave teachings, but in disciplic succession, fully transparent, fully empowered to impart spiritual empowerment to every one of us just through his pure transmission of transcendental knowledge. Prabhupada loved that service. He loved hearing. He loved speaking. And anyone that's heard Prabhupada speak on this section, he would become very animated, strong on the message that Prahlad was preaching. Here's find a little introduction. At the beginning of chapter 6 of this canto, in the introduction section, Prabhupada wrote, by accepting the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, who is in the parampara succession, one will be able to understand the mode of spiritual life. In accepting this mode of activity, there is no need for material qualifications. So we'll hear, we heard in his prayers, and we'll hear again, no material qualification, no prior qualification, just receiving mercy from whatever your position, even if you're a demon or born in a demon family, at least. Material qualification is a birth qualification. That's not a qualification for the mode of activity, mode of spiritual life. And so the other emphasis, specifically underlined here, is we can understand that. Of course, there's the hearing part, but then there's the taking shelter or accepting the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj. Just a little final point. Prahlad Maharaj was always one of my heroes. For that reason, because he was a preacher. Even with the most difficult of circumstances. You can't even imagine circumstances like that for us. And he was unstoppable. Literally. And fearless. Literally. So he was a hero. And much to my happiness, because in the early days of ISKCON, we didn't have the cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. So very kindly, Srila Prabhupada presented a little publication. It was like half the size of the Back to Godhead magazine, cover-wise, or two-thirds, about the same number of pages, and mass distribution volume of publication, which we would give out on the street or distribute literature. Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. I loved it. So that's like, you know, the baby food that I grew up with in Krishna consciousness. Prahlad's a hero, and here's his teachings, and here we are discussing in much more detail the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. So naturally, let us offer our obeisances to him, take shelter of him, accept the shelter of his lotus feet, because he's very merciful. And now we're ready to begin. During this morning session, we'll cover one and then the beginning part of the second of these five instructions or teachings of Prahlad. So if I was a professor and going to give an exam at the end of the course, I would ask you, what was the first teaching? So pay attention. We're not going to have an exam. But be attentive, because there's an evolution of his points, and they're important. He's teaching the way of pure devotional service. Once upon a time, the king of the demons, so we heard yesterday evening, Kayadu was taken by the demigods, transferred to Narada. Narada instructed Kayadu with the child Prahlad in her womb for the whole duration of time that Hiranyakashipu was off doing his austerity. That was a lot of time. Long time. He just heard and heard and heard and heard and heard. She, you know, transcendental knowledge. It doesn't say specifically Srimad Bhagavatam, but transcendental knowledge. To Kayado. And Prahlad heard. And then when Lord Nrsingha, when Hiranyakashipu came back from his austerities with his benedictions, Kayadu returned. Prahlad was born because she received a benediction from Narada that she requested that her child would not be born until her husband came back from the forest. So Prahlad was born. And back in the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu, when Prahlad became 5 years old, Prabhupada sometimes says 5 or 6, but 5 years old, because that's when school begins, even back then, he entrusted Prahlad to two teachers, the sons of Shukracharya, the priest of the demons, and the two teachers, his sons, were Shanda and Amarka. We'll hear their names again and again. And off he went to school. So he had affection for his son, like a father will have for a son. He was human in that sense, human affection for his son. So he took Prahlad on his lap and very affectionately inquired, "My dear son, please let me know what you think is the best of all subjects you have studied from your teachers," thinking Shanda and Amarka. Little did he know he had another teacher besides Shanda and Amarka. And here's the reply. This is one of the teachings. We can say it together. Na sadhu manye suravarya dehinam sada samud vigna diyam asat grahat hitvatma patam griham andakupam vanam gatoyad darim ashrayeta. Read the translation in a moment, but just break it down a little bit. This word diyam refers to intelligence. Di, subuddhi, or di, means intelligence. And samud vigna means filled with anxieties. Samud vigna diyam, that's the result of two things. Dehinam means accepting a body. But Prahlad had a body too. And the other is asat grahat. Asat means the impermanent. And grahat, same as grahasta, same root, it's identification with asat and identification with the extensions of asat, the body. So break it down. The principle that he's speaking is not a new principle. It's in the second canto of Bhagavatam of this I and mine consciousness. Aham, mama, I and mine. So material consciousness is identification with asat, and then identification with mine, false ego, and the material conception of attachment to mine. And one's di, one's intelligence, becomes filled with anxieties. Samudvigna. Diyam. And then he makes a metaphor. Anda kupam. Andha Kupam is a dark well. Andha Kupam, a dark well. It is like falling in a dark well where there's no water and only misery. So he's stating to his father, this is the superlative thing that I've learned. Those who are in that unfortunate position, they've accepted material body, they identify with it, they identify with the mind part, they want to be the enjoyers of that, their intelligence is filled with anxiety. Hoping for happiness, like going to a well, falling in the well that's dark, no water, no happiness. So what should one do? Vanam gato. Go to the forest. And Prabhupada elaborates liberally and says, actually go to Vrindavan, that forest, where only Krishna consciousness is known. And dharyam ashrayeta, take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just what Hiranyakashipu wanted to hear, right? So, here's the translation. Oh, best of the Asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. Now, we all have bodies. So the having a body in itself is not the problem, but taking shelter of it and accepting it as who we really are, and then from that misconception comes mine. I and mine. Go to Vrindavan. One should give up this position and go to the forest, Vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I know some people that are in Vrindavan right now, and Radha Shamasundar are very attractive and very merciful. There's another very nice image of Radha Shamasundar. Now, when you're in Vrindavan, staying in the guest house or some place or MVT or wherever people stay in Vrindavan, there's no forest there. It's now like a jungle, but cement jungle. But it's still Vrindavan, where Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, taking shelter of Prahlad Maharaj means to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because that's his teaching. We follow his teaching. If we follow his teaching, we're taking shelter of him. And that way we can understand the mode of devotional service. So that was the first teaching. So we have a quiz question. Now you know the answer, right? Hiranyakashipu became very angry. He deduced, he speculated wrongly. This little boy, his son, some friend at school gave him some bad ideas. They polluted his intelligence. So he instructed the teachers, don't let this happen. Be very, very vigilant that this doesn't happen. Well, they tried. to instruct Prahlad in their ways of becoming a demon. And Prahlad wasn't interested. He had another interest that he was fully embracing. He heard from a long time from Narada. And he was already recognized by Narada as a great devotee. So he was fixed. So their instructions didn't go in. And he would speak very openly about what he did have confidence in. So they wanted to know from him, how have you become learned in these instructions? How has your intelligence been spoiled in this way? Who's the enemy that gave you these polluted ideas? So this is the beginning part of the second set of instructions, second of five. And we'll just discuss a little bit this morning and then after breakfast continue this section, because it's a little longer than just one verse. But there's two main elements. It continues from what he said to his father, I and mine. And if you're thinking in terms of I and mine, or accepting the temporary to be reality, then three things. Your intelligence is gone. The understanding of who is the Supreme Lord, the Supersoul, is blocked. And instead one sees only the temporary, and in this I and mind consciousness there's friends and enemies. It's just the extension of the I and mind consciousness, friends and enemies. And one who thinks that way is always disturbed. So samudvigna dhyam, friends and enemies. And this is a theme that comes three times in his teachings. Friends and enemies, friends and enemies, friends and enemies. He doesn't see like that. We'll hear more as we go along. And then the final thing he says to them is he doesn't disclose where he heard this. He just says, my attraction is spontaneous. Like iron filings to a magnet. They're attracted to a magnet. And I'm attracted to the personality of Godhead. Spontaneously. So, a big theme in his teachings is this friend and enemy notion. So we'll, little by little, we'll cover it and try to expand on it. So here's the first part of his response to his teachers. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose external energy has created distinctions of my friend and my enemy by deluding the intelligence of men. Indeed, I am actually experiencing this, although I have previously heard it from authoritative sources. He doesn't disclose Narada's name or the circumstance. But it's Narada. So there's a teaching that we've all heard, the I and mind concept and friends and enemies concept. And here he is, 5-year-old boy, sharing, now I'm seeing it. Here's the teaching in real life. It connects with what he said to his father. Accepting a body and identifying with it, then natural, mine, the extensions of the body, my family, my this, my that, anxieties, Kunta. He's at Vaikuntha Vasi, so he knows the life of being free from anxiety. And he knows the life of being freed from friends and enemies. Now, we'll hear as we go along. His teachers were tough, what to speak of his father. They were acting as enemies, but he didn't see them as enemies. We'll hear as we're going along. He actually was in that consciousness. Now, we'll go a little more deeply into Prabhupada's teaching. He refers to this very important verse from Bhagavad Gita chapter 5. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmane gavi hastini shuni chaiva sapaki cha pandita samadarshana. A pandita, learned person, samadarshana, sees equally. Now, sees equally doesn't mean you don't see differences. You can see what's what. There is a dog. And over there is a dog eater. And over there is an elephant. And over there is a cow. And over there is a brahmana. You can see distinctions and you function appropriately according to those distinctions. They're only designations. It's not the true self. But you don't have to identify with the covering in order to act appropriately for someone's situation. We should act appropriately. That's dharma. And it's culture. But at the same time, one doesn't identify that's the self. That's this pandita samadarshana message. In Prabhupada's purport, he goes on, making reference to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching on the same point. Jivera Swarupaya Krishnara Nityadas. That's, you know, before that is what I'm not, but who am I? This is the I conception. Every living entity, me and every living entity, others also, others that may be acting as enemy or inimical or harsh or whatever. Harsh in speech, harsh in action, cruel, etc., etc., etc. They're part and parcel of the Supreme Lord also. And the function, so the living entity's function is to be the servant of Krishna. Prabhupada writes, some people are serving favorably. Some people are serving unfavorably. But everyone is serving Krishna. Even the demons or inimical persons, they're serving. So that's the spiritual conception. Prahlad is absorbed in the spiritual conception and he's not bewildered by the covering. Shanda Amarka's covering or anyone's covering. Prabhupada goes on and says, not only you see them as spirit soul, but you should see them as master. Therefore, Vaishnavas at least see in terms of Prabhu. And so a spiritual quality, one who actually has spiritual knowledge, has this humility, natural humility, and they, every other living entity, including bad people, not excluding anyone, because if they're bad people, then they're enemies, not spirit souls meant for service to Krishna. It's culture. Now, Prabhupada goes on saying we want to learn from others. Now, even bad people we can learn something from. We can learn what not to do or what the modes of nature are. We can learn all kinds of things. And the best is to have, according to Prabhupada's purport here, is understand the Supreme Master through the understanding that comes from the spiritual master. That's Narada Muni for Prahlad, and for us it's whoever it is, but certainly our founder Acharya is for all of us, and you go back in the whole disciplic succession for all of us, And then we have our local persons or our spiritual masters, Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus and those who are representing Krishna. I had this really nice discussion yesterday with one devotee who is initiated over here and has a Shiksha Guru over there, and he was appreciating the enormous benefit he's gotten from Shiksha Guru, who's not his Diksha Guru, which is fantastic. And may there be many such persons in our lives, and they're also to be respected and taken shelter of, and the instructions they give, taking shelter of, then that means taking shelter of the personality of Godhead. So we get these understandings in this way. Prabhupada's purport is this. Krishna, he's in the position of the Supreme Master. He's making the connection, how to see living entities, and all the way, already we're up at the Supreme Master. And then all others are servants of that Supreme Master. And therefore, in a spiritual conception, they're to be respected. We'll say it negatively. This is Jiva Goswami's teachings in Bhakti Sandarbha. One of the causes of ignorance that then leads to sin and leads to offense is not seeing this as a consequence. That which is spiritual, we don't see as spiritual. Then he gives different categories. And one of them is a living entity. The scripture, the deity form of the Lord, the form of the Lord revealed in the scripture, the spiritual master and the living entity. These are spiritual manifestations in this material world. Failure to recognize, it's the negative, but failure to recognize the spiritual position of the living entity as being connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's intelligence becomes covered. We're going to hear that after breakfast. Some Prahlad goes more deeply into this. It's a small thing, but a big thing. And that is to see ourselves and others with spiritual conception. And if we say it negatively, if we don't, we're guaranteed, our intelligence will be covered, guaranteed we'll make mistakes, if not offenses, and we'll stay struggling. And wonder, what's the problem? Maintaining material conception is the problem. We haven't heard properly from, we've heard, but we don't bring it within. That's the problem. We're covered, and we stay covered. Just to amplify this, in 1970, I became a bhakta at the Boston Temple. That's a few years ago. And it was during the summer of 1970. And during that same summer, Purnaprajna and Narayani, who were already married, became members of the temple too. Also. They moved into the temple, married. It was not a big temple, but kind of they lived in the temple. And at the end of the summer, without the detail, I was a trade to New York. They wanted somebody to run the printing press. There was somebody in New York that could run the printing press. His name was Gadadhar. So he went from New York, and I was a trade to New York. So I went to New York. I hadn't seen Purnaprajna and Narayani for some couple of decades. I know later after meeting with them what happened, but Purnaprajna Prabhu is prolific. in writing summaries of so many things, Ramayana and Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, well-read, very brahminical, etc., etc. So one time I saw him in Mayapur, Purna Pragya. He said, "You remember me?" I said, "Of course." I had seen Narayani in Vrindavan, but I hadn't seen him in quite some time. So spent some time together. And he was really animated, saying, "After all this academic work, I'm totally convinced that if people can simply understand they're not the body." I have a whole seminar. I tried it out over here and tried it over there. It really helps. I'd like the opportunity to train people to actually understand, go through it really slowly and threadbare, to understand and apply, you're not the body. Because if you don't pull the anchor, row, row, row your boat, you're not going anywhere. Small thing. Big thing. It's our philosophy, and sometimes we don't act according to our philosophy. And what happens is the polluted intelligence results in speech and conduct that's unbecoming. And then, you know, devotees expect devotees to be up there, and they find out, wait a minute, you know what I'm talking about. Their speech and conduct is not representative, and they feel hurt. Yes? So this is an important teaching from Prahlad Maharaj. How to see the soul instead of this other way. Not just it's our philosophy, you know, check the box in an exam, but we actually imbibe that understanding. Doesn't mean the intelligence gets turned off and we can't see anything. We can see, but we know that the eternal reality is, and respect according to that eternal reality. Small thing, big thing. Ignorance causes suffering. Ignorance is the root cause of suffering. Listen carefully to Prabhupada's teachings. You'll hear it many, many times. Ignorance is the root cause of suffering. So here's transcendental knowledge that Prahlad heard from Narada that he's sharing with his teacher, Shandanamarka, and with us. See others in this way, and that gives us access to the supreme spirit, the super soul. We'll hear some more from Prahlad on this topic. When there's duality, this non-spiritual conception, then it leads to duality. And the emphasis again and again is this friend and enemy message of Prahlad. In that position of duality, we think one person is a friend, another person is an enemy. We're stuck in this position of duality. And that's unfortunate. But if we could see with a spiritual conception, we won't see like that. We'll be freed from duality. The servant cannot be equal to the master. This is directly from Prabhupada's purport, explaining all of this. Just one more verse. Again, this is teaching section number 2, but we won't complete it, just the beginning of it. Prahlad continues, responding to his teachers. "How did your intelligence get polluted? Where did you learn this? Who's that enemy?" So, Prahlad. "When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with the living entity because of his devotional service, one becomes a pandita, and does not make distinctions between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he then thinks, every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. Now that's a spiritual conception. Repeat, there are differences. Differences of culture, differences of language, differences of personalities, differences of all kinds of differences. There are differences. Those are upadhis. And then there's the spiritual conception. With the spiritual conception, there's also differences. It's not impersonalism being expressed here. We are not different from one another is not an impersonalism message. It's a spiritual concept of the soul is the true self. And that takes away the friend-enemy energy or covering. This friend-enemy, Prabhupada speaks. How do we get from where we have this misconception to the position of having consciousness that's cleared? It's two things, always. Mercy is essential, and effort is essential. Both are necessary. So if we don't ask the question, we're not likely to get the answer, even if it's given to us. And if we ask the question and really want to know, when we hear the answer, it helps. At least ignorance becomes diminished. And in that ignorance diminished position, our devotional service becomes more clear. Still mixed, but more clear, and continue to ask the question. Not like, okay, now I'm engaged in devotional service and mixed is just fine with me. Continue to move by effort to the spiritual position. And one of those things, in the negative sense, is give up this friend-enemy. But you can't give up the friend-enemy conception as long as you're in the eye and mind consciousness. Going back to the instruction that he gave to his father. Dehinam and asat grahat. Accepting a body and identifying with it. And identifying with the byproducts of the body. Family, etc. Everything. So that's mine. And then over there is something that may be interfering with mine, and that's, you know, my enjoyment, or mine, my family's enjoyment, or my groupism, or whatever it is, my nation, my whatever it is. Just keeps, you know, there's expanded circles of the same thing. Friend and enemy. As Prabhupada would say, this is going on. By immersion in the teachings of Prahlad and looking at the news every day, it's just example after example after example of people that haven't heard from Narada Muni. And so it's different versions and varieties of friend and enemy, the realm of duality, and that's what they know. How to get out? Well, the intelligence has to be cleared. How does that going to happen? By taking shelter of Prahlad Maharaj and the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, or those that are representatives of him, the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the cleared conception is, there's no such thing as friend and enemy. We're going to hear this some more. A Vaishnava treats other living entities neither as friends nor as enemies, but instead tries to spread Krishna consciousness. Sounds like Prabhupada, right? is Prabhupada. Teaching everyone that we are all servants of the Supreme Lord. So in the image is book distribution. That's one important medium. Very important medium. We can help disseminate this conception through book distribution. And we need to live it. Small thing. Big thing. We need to live what our teachings say, because if we don't live what our teachings say, then it just doesn't have the same effect. Say it in reverse. If we live what our teachings say, it has profound effect, even greater effect. So that's a big responsibility, to live according to our teachings. At least strive in that direction. Pray for mercy to come to that position, become truly qualified, and keep striving in that way. Not, oh, I remember some years ago I surrendered to Krishna. I took initiation, and now I'm a surrendered devotee. And then there's the non-devotee people. And then there's the other religion people. And, you know, you go through the us and them thing. The other group that aren't as good as our group. The groupism thing. It's material conception. So, propagate the teaching. That's Prahlad, and it's certainly Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which we're part of. And imbibe the teachings by our practical lifestyle. Here's an important Bhagavad Gita teaching. Ekatvam anupashyatah. Same message repeated in different language. A devotee should see the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be situated in everyone's heart and should also see every living entity as an eternal servant of the Lord. This vision is called Ekatvam, or oneness. Now, the image is the same as this verse, prior verse from fifth chapter Bhagavad Gita. But the extension of it is not just the brahmana and the cow and the dog eater and the elephant, but every living entity, and that they're not only spirit soul, but they're also servants of Krishna. Maybe serving nicely, maybe serving not nicely, maybe a pure devotee, maybe a mixed devotee. We honor especially Vaishnavas, and we honor especially Shuddha Bhaktas, but we honor every living entity because they're spiritual entities. Small thing, big thing. I have heard from experienced devotees, I could mention the names, but not so important. A maturing stage of our Krishna consciousness is when we can interact with others who are not devotee, whether it's non-devotees or people in the world or other religion organizations or these people, those people, and with respect hold others with some spiritual, at least, regard and respect. Maybe their behavior is not nice. But if we judge people, I'm up here, you're down there, or something like that, I'm over here, you're over there, or something like that, our message is going to be blocked. It won't be effective in giving that message. Now, we look at our founder Acharya. Prabhupada was appropriately strong in some circumstances with persons that had a block towards bhakti or towards Krishna or towards the devotees. And sometimes he was appropriately mild. Surprisingly, a little story. Um, Prabhupada was visiting our Chennai temple when it was Madras, long ago. And there was a scholar, turned out to be a Mayavadi sannyasi, that wanted to meet Prabhupada. Prabhupada agreed. The story goes, as soon as the man began speaking, he was criticizing Prabhupada. And specifically, his translation of Bhagavad Gita. And he had studied it meticulously. He quoted chapter and verse, where the Sanskrit says this, and you said that. And your word for word, your translation and the purport. And, you know, it doesn't say anything about chanting Hare Krishna, and you say chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, any other examples? And according to the story I heard, I wasn't there, nor did I hear the transcription or recording. It went on for an hour. He had meticulously studied Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita and was criticizing his translation. Any other? And an hour. And at the end, the devotees are really puzzled because this is not what Prabhupada would usually do from their experience. And then at the end, Prabhupada said, it's time for prasadam. Give him some prasadam, he can go. Like, no apology, no, like, winding up the thing. And he left, probably felt feeling victorious or something. And after he left, the devotee said, Prabhupada, why did you endure? This man was so offensive and insulting you and criticizing your scholarship. And Prabhupada said, for a whole hour, he was saying Krishna's name. So maybe next time when he comes, having chanted Krishna's name so many times, he'll inquire rather than challenge. No, that wasn't normal. But being inspired by Super Soul, he knew when to do this and when to do that. So there's no template of how you interact with people who aren't devotees. Other than see with a spiritual conception. Don't leave that spiritual conception and see the covering, the upadhi, and identify with it. Because if you do, according to Srila Prabhupada's teaching, without examples because of time, we're no better than they are. I'll just give one. There's many. But one that's made a big impression on me was Bhakti Tirtha Swami, without the whole history, coming from a ghetto situation in Cleveland during a time in American history when the civil rights movement was peaking, and so a number of universities, particularly Ivy League schools, were giving free scholarship from people of color who had academic qualification and couldn't afford scholarship, or couldn't afford the tuition. He was one. He was a Princeton University student. In the course of his studies at Princeton, he became the valedictorian. For those of you from India, he was the gold medalist, the topper, you know that language, and the president of a student class. He was a luminary heading for who knows what career in the world, because the university that I was attending, which was sometime before he started taking part in Krishna consciousness, it was a big topic, you know, African history. And there were really highly credited and highly paid people, because that was what was going on at the time, in the university circle at least. So he was headed for who knows what. But we sent a Sankirtan party from New York to visit colleges. One of those places was Princeton. I remember specifically, without naming the name, who was the party leader. And he got a book, read the book, was moved. He looked in the back, the addresses. He contacted the temple. Somebody answered the phone. He found out Prabhupada is coming. So he wanted to, you know, so he came and he met Prabhupada and he became his disciple. Like, you know, he left that career behind to take, just like that. I mean, I'm sure there were some other little steps. And then after associating with devotees for some time, as initiated devotee, he had the opportunity, long-awaited opportunity, to share with Prabhupada something that was hurtful. And that sharing was, in ISKCON, there's racial prejudice. Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's response was something like this: that's not very good. But if you're disturbed, you know better than they are. Friends and enemies, us and them, bodily conception, and accepting the asat to be sat. You're in the same boat. You're on the receiving end instead of the friends and enemy, or the material conception, in short, the position of duality. Rise above duality. It's easier to say it than to do it, but that's the teaching. Almost done. Behind the conception of someone as an enemy is God as an enemy. Behind envy of some living entity is envy of the supreme living entity. Because somebody that has something that I want, but I don't have, that I'm envious of that person, where'd they get that something? From the source of everything. So it's actually envy of the supreme person. This friend and enemy boils down to, in the spiritual plane, to God as an enemy. So there's publications. If we take God as an enemy, then our intelligence is polluted. Pashu buddhi, the intelligence of an animal. Rather, the spiritual conception. Every one of us, spiritual entities, servants of the Lord, what's the question of friend-enemy? So now Prabhupada presents the alternative, the Vaikuntha-vasi consciousness. Vaikuntha thinking. Be friendly on behalf of your position as service to the Supreme Lord. And particularly for devotees, have regard and appreciate one another's service. And your own service, don't be proud and all of those negative things. Prabhupada would speak about competition, but it's not friend-enemy competition. I win, you lose. It's Krishna should be pleased. That's Vaikuntha consciousness, transcendental or Vaikuntha competition. And amongst the servants of the Lord, no question of enmity, friend and enemy. Almost done. And the time is lapsing. Krishna's in the heart of every living entity. And according to the living entity's attitude of service to Krishna, he gives intelligence. And this polluted intelligence is very unfortunate. They, by spirit, challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord. And so they get the intelligence by which they can forget him. We're going to hear some more after breakfast on this. Prahlad continues. So the devotee is one who wants to serve the Supreme Lord, and then the dictation from the Supreme Lord comes in a different way. So it's the mood of devotional service that Prabhupada says in the beginning of that chapter 6. That's what he's teaching. summary. We're actually servants of Krishna. No one is a friend or enemy. Everyone is working under different directions of the Supreme Lord, who directs them according to their mentality. So you have a concern. Work on this conception of the Supreme Lord primarily by good example. And good teachings are supported by good example. So that's the conclusion for this morning. And I want to keep to the schedule. Oh, we have some time for questions. We have time for questions? 9:15. Okay. Please excuse me. I'm going to run and use the restroom. Be right back. Any comments or questions from anybody up front here?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Maharaj, it's a Pandita Samadarshana, so we need to see everyone with equal vision. And other hand...
He's going to have to fix the sound. Speak without the microphone. Speak without the microphone. It's natural we have some identification with my spiritual master. Yes. Just like my family. It's natural. Nothing wrong. Here comes the microphone. Try it again. You go ahead. How we can transcend groupism is your question?
Of qualification or as I mentioned, my spiritual master and Shiksha Guru and other neophyte devotees and all. So we need to give the respect according to that. I mean, and at high level, we need to give respect everyone is equal, but there are also some kind of differentiation should be there. So how we can reconcile
this? I've got about 10% of what you said. Can somebody help me? Because his voice is soft. Yes, go ahead. Yes, sometimes we have to distinguish.
In general, like,
yes.
Master,
yes.
I offer more fidelity than I do to this world.
Yes? We offer special respect. Doesn't mean We don't offer respect to others. Example. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master was Ishwara Puri. As far as he is concerned, Paramananda Puri was equally a place of shelter for him. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't have special regard for Ishwara Puri. But he had special regard for Paramananda Puri. There's many examples like that in our teachings. Krishna Das Kaviraj, his spiritual master, initiating spiritual master, was Nityananda Prabhu. And he writes, he offers his obeisances to Rupa and Raghunath. So, in our heart, there may be some special. And then there's persons that let's say in our ISKCON situation, we don't have any direct interaction with so-and-so Prabhu or Swami. But they're God brothers of our spiritual master in the present context. Or they may, you know, be not God brothers, they may be just exalted Vaishnava. And so commensurate, the principle is commensurate with one's spiritual qualification, one offers respect. While at the same time holding special respect for our spiritual master or those persons who have a special place in guiding us in Krishna consciousness. Just referring again to the discussion yesterday, somebody was sharing, I have special regard for this person who has helped me so much to come to the position of taking shelter of a spiritual master and spiritualizing my life. Not their Diksha Guru, but has a specialty also. And it's not a disciple of his spiritual master. Making those kinds of spiritual distinctions is not groupism. It's a matter of the heart, and appropriate with the heart, then there's some regard. And we have regard for others who are not in that special position because of they're devotees of the Lord, and they're serving the Lord in a very wonderful way, and etc. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. Over here.
You were saying that...
Hold it just like this. Yeah. No, straight. Like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's much
works.
Better.
You were saying that the teaching is we see everybody as spirit soul.
Yes.
So here is this teaching, and I'm trying to apply this teaching.
Good.
In my life.
Good.
And what I see is my past impressions.
Okay.
They block me from applying the teaching.
That's the mind.
So then is it a correct understanding that like Prahlad Maharaj, he heard and his absorption was in Srimad Bhagavatam. And from that place, he could withstand the...
Everything. Terror.
So then the thing is when my indoctrination is strong within, then it will help me to...
Yes.
Okay.
Here's a couple of examples. One is clouds in the sky. The sun shines equally whether there's clouds in the sky or not clouds in the sky. And there's different kinds of clouds. There are really thin ones, sparse, but sometimes. And then there's in between, and then there's really thick ones. The sun shines equally. So similarly, for us, there's that which blocks transcendental knowledge from touching our heart, just like that which blocks the sun is the clouds. What to do? We go on with the, just as the clouds are created by the power of the sun, Krishna has sanctioned similarly our material contamination, although that's not what he wants. He's sanctioned it, and he can remove it. And the hearing process, the taking effort of taking shelter process, can gradually, the clouds can dissipate and disappear. Now that requires faith, and requires effort, and requires the sun keep shining, and we don't go underneath a rock and hide from the sun. However long it takes, that's how long it takes. For you it may be this long, and for someone else it's much less, and someone else it's much longer. The process doesn't change. Faith connected to the proper process. Abhyasa. Every day, you've heard me say this many times, over a prolonged period of time with faith. My position may be here, someone else's position may be there. Someone else's position may be down there. Not a contest, not being judged, it's repose faith in that process, and there's knowing you, as I know you, there's been enormous progress, and there's more to go. Keep going. We'll hear something more on this, but you know, the mind, the role that the mind plays. Because that's one of the places where the previous impressions are stored. And it is an obstacle to function with intelligence instead of function with the impressions of the mind. It doesn't mean that we turn our intelligence off. It doesn't mean that we don't discriminate. It doesn't mean that. Continue to do that. But it's buddhi, it's spiritual intelligence that Krishna will give you and give every one of us, exactly as we heard.
Is it like a good practice to go back and introspect situations?
Of course. That's one thing.
And see that this is a situation where I was functioning not with my intelligence, but from the impressions of my mind.
And, very important, we'll hear some more as we go along. That's an instrument of my past. You've heard this one many times too, I'm sure. Prabhupada speaking without the context, don't blame the instrument of your karma. It's an instrument of something. Something back there, we don't know what that something is, and here it comes. And it's meant to teach us something. Not just, you know, you made some boo-boo back there. It's to instructively help us take deeper shelter of transcendence. That's part of the lesson. The higher lesson is that one. It doesn't mean the past didn't happen. We don't identify with it. We don't hold on to it. We don't ignore it. We don't, using Prabhupada's language, we don't go and embrace a tiger because we're seeing equally all living entities. We act appropriately according to circumstance. But that's the outside. I may be cautious about my dealings with someone that's a bully. I never liked bullies from when I was little and still don't. That doesn't mean I can't see them as spirit soul, as Krishna's servant, and exercise proper words and speech in dealing with such a person. But I must not depart from the conception that they're a spirit soul meant for Krishna's service also, and meant to help me take deeper shelter of Krishna. That's a spiritual conception, and it's how to navigate our way through this place of darkness, the realm of duality, and not indulge in it through the agency of the mind. Sankalpa vikalpa, that's what the mind does. That's the instrument that views duality, and that we like and we don't like. Happiness and distress. It's the mind. There's a whole chapter in Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. It's the mind. That's the enemy. We'll hear some more as we go along. One more? If there's one more question. Anyone? Yes, up front here. You're on. You're on.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I not read this section before. So what is the friend and enemy consciousness? I know little bit. I can implicitly I can understand little bit. Friend means somebody is favorable to me and I am favorable to somebody. Enemy means somebody is not favorable to me and then I don't want their welfare. But I don't know, in this context it might help to understand what are the material consciousness of friend and enemy.
What is the what?
Friend and enemy consciousness.
You want to like, expand on the concept.
Yeah.
That's what you're asking?
Yes. Sir.
Well, the material, we'll go into this more. As I said, it's going to come after breakfast and because it's already, it comes two more times besides this section. So it's very important. Your question is very pertinent. The concept rooted in duality is my happiness is being interfered with. And my happiness means sense gratification, or my objectives, which means sense gratification, subtle or gross. Doesn't have to be like a gross kind of sense gratification. Subtle or gross. My happiness is being interfered with. That's an enemy. The spiritual conception is quite different. But specifically the question is, friend and enemy is, I and mine, someone's harming the body, or someone's harming mine. And it doesn't just have to be my house, or my car, or my bank balance, or my family. It can be my prestige. You know, subtle things that are part of mine, extensions of me, mine. That's an enemy. Does that help? Yes. Keep going. He'll turn, check the volume.
Krishna consciousness, as I practice Krishna consciousness, and as I'm cultivating consciousness to please Krishna, so naturally, the focus is not on how he's giving pleasure to me, like that. So that soul will see, will not see people as friends and enemy.
Will not be what?
Will not see the friends and enemies like that,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Well, the spiritual conception is Krishna is to be pleased. I meant for Krishna's pleasure, and every other living entity is meant for Krishna's pleasure. No friends and enemies. There's distinctions in the realm of the temporary, and one can see them. You don't like shut off the power of discrimination. You don't shut your intelligence down. You can see, but you don't see friends and enemies. You see service to Krishna opportunity. That's what Prahlad is doing. He's just giving transcendental knowledge to Shanda and Amarka. Although they're seeing friends and enemies. They're seeing Vishnu as an enemy, and the devotee of Vishnu becomes an enemy too, because of Vishnu as an enemy. So he's flipping that conception to, at least by sound, giving them the opportunity to come to the spiritual conception. We'll break for breakfast. See you back at 10:15. Yes? 10:15. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.